Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. You found it. I sure am glad you did. I'm very excited tonight. We're all ready for a great show. Our hair is teased, our stockings straight, eyeliner in place. No, I'm kidding. Our guest, I don't know if she's all dolled up. I am. No, I'm joking, ladies and gentlemen. Or am I? Anyhow. No, we've got a fantastic guest tonight. I'm a big, big fan of this lady. I've been listening to her music and watching her video all week long, and it's probably one of my favorite tracks I've heard in 2018. So I'm very, very excited to have tonight on the show, Serena. Hey.
Can you hear
that
me?
That is way
Hi.
Better. Yeah.
Okay, great.
That was, great. I think we had a parallel dimension sneaking in on us or something. It was insane. Very cool.
I don't know if you're following the planets, but, you know, Mercury's in retrograde currently, and, you know,
yeah,
all kinds of technological devices are not supposed to be working at the moment, or something's supposed to get screwed up.
Something. I have been having one of those days where technology does not like me, like the cords get wrapped around stuff, just all kinds of, like, little annoying things, you know what I mean? I had to reboot my TV system and everything earlier. I'm like, of course, you know, it's one of them days, but we're muddling through. We're muddling through. Now, Zarina, I am a big fan of your music. Now, your story is kind of interesting. Well, tell us a little bit about it. You're a New York lady. Were you always a musician?
I've always been a musician. Mm-hmm. I was actually born in the Philippines. I grew up here in New York. I moved when I was a kid, and it really opened my eyes to a lot of things, just the culture and just, you know, the entire environment, how it really forces you to kind of find yourself, you know, find, like, you know, where you're really gonna belong. It's a great city. But yeah, I'd say I've always been a musician. I've been singing since I was a kid, and I discovered rock music actually when I was in my early teens. But before that, I was actually being trained for Broadway. That was my parents' dream. I was getting groomed for Broadway. I actually had auditions lined up. I had a coach, by the time I was ready, I decided that I wanted to pursue rock music. I discovered Nirvana. I discovered Pearl Jam. I discovered Tool. A lot of cool bands that had made such a huge impact on my life, you know, at the age of 14, 15. And then picked up the guitar, told my parents I didn't want to pursue Broadway. I wanted to do this. I wanted to start a band. And then my parents, particularly
heart.
My dad. Yeah, I broke my mother's
oh,
heart.
Yeah.
And my dad was like, okay, let's get you an electric guitar.
Oh, nice.
And then,
nice.
Yeah, my dad's pretty cool about it. At least my dad was cool about it. But basically started writing my first rock tunes when I was 15. And then, but I didn't really get to start my band until after high school when I went to college. The whole time I was trying to be a musician. So what's interesting is that the movie Fame?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so that was my high school, LaGuardia.
Oh, nice.
New York City, yeah, music and art. But I was an art major. I wasn't a music major. And so I always had this art background. My dad's an architect. My sisters are all fashion designers. So I've always kind of just like, okay, I'm going to, like, you know, I'll I'll pursue art as well on top of music, you know, but it provided the stability. So, you know, because I wanted to keep music as my passion project. Like I kind of want to keep that pure and untainted. And then, you know, I figured that, oh, okay, you know, if I'm going to traverse through this life, I need something stable. So I kind of relied on art and design to provide the foundation. And then I decided to pursue footwear design. And went to FIT. And then it just happened that, you know, I decided I was going to be a shoe designer. And then that's how I got started. And, you know, concurrently, I was pursuing music. I formed my metal band at that time. And, I started playing, you know, I was doing shoes at the same time I was playing gigs all over the city, New Jersey, Connecticut.
Nice. Well, you know, perhaps you can answer one of the great mysteries that has befuddled me for years. Every woman I know are obsessed with shoes. They all love shoes. They're in love with shoes, but they all hate wearing them. You know what I mean? Like, that's the first thing that goes when they walk in the house. My girlfriend, you know, has hundreds and hundreds of pairs, but, you know, anytime she doesn't have to wear any shoes, she certainly isn't. And I just find that an interesting psychological quandary, I suppose.
Maybe they're not wearing the right shoes. Wearing the right shoes. They're wearing the wrong shoes for maybe the wrong reasons. I don't know. I mean, I always believe that, you know, I mean, shoes are, you know, they're accessories, but I always believe that they're the most powerful accessories. Like, you know, the good shoes, like, you know, once you try on a good pair of shoes, you just really feel really powerful. You know, there's something, almost like a, like an aphrodisiac quality, you know, to shoes. I mean, I personally love designing them. I've been doing it, you know, for many, many, many years.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, I'm not about to carbon date myself because people think, you know, I'm a certain age. I understand what you mean, though, because I personally love designing, you know, high-heeled shoes, really sexy shoes. Mm-hmm. Do I wear them? No, not really. Like, I don't really wear, like, you know, super high-heeled stuff. Maybe if I'm doing a photo shoot or if I'm going to be, you know, in an editorial, yeah, I do it. I love sneakers. Sneakers,
well,
for sure.
High heels or anything. I'm a painter. That's what I do. That's my normal, that's my day job. And over the years, man, I've painted a lot of high heels, let me tell you. And the reason is, well, because I'm a big high heel freak like Quentin Tarantino. No, I'm joking, ladies and gentlemen. No, the reason it is I'm a big guy. I like to eat. And every time I paint a pair of high heels in a painting, that painting will sell. It's like an ATM card. And so,
yeah.
I don't know why.
All right, that's great.
You know, I can't complain.
You must be painting really, really sexy high heel shoes, you know, for them to be selling out like that. Yeah.
But you know, I don't have any paintings of them in my home. But I'm not saying to anyone listening that wants one, no, work out. It'll look great in your house. No, you know, it's crazy. Well, that's interesting though. So, and you did the footwear designer, had a whole company, a line, and everything, and was doing it, man, making it happen. You did that for a couple years, right?
Yeah, I did it for 6 years.
Wow.
Yeah, I had a pretty nice
big investment in passion, money. That's got to be challenging to be in that position, have anything that you're doing for 6 years and then say, you know what, I think I want to go in a different direction. That's got to shake your head up a little bit. Eh?
Yeah. I think, you know, I've always thought, not just always thought, but But I did always want my own line, my own company, and I started young in the shoe industry, and I worked very hard, and I got very far at a very young age, and so
that's awesome.
It was great. I love the industry, and lots of amazing, inspiring people. I had the most amazing mentors.
Big time clientele too.
I had very good.
Whoa.
Yeah, we had. The brand had a very amazing brand following. I mean, it was my dream. At that time, I pursued it hard. It took a huge chunk of sacrifice. From every aspect of my life, not just investments or anything. It took a lot, health wise. There's a time when I was just so stressed out that, people were really, really worried about me. It's definitely the most amazing, definitely one of the most amazing experiences I've ever had. I learned everything. I grew up so much. It's one thing being a designer and being creative. Whether you're doing music or art or design, it's one thing being a creative, and it's another thing really running a company, being CEO, CFO. I don't say a mogul, but you're in charge of you're not just in charge of yourself, you're in charge of a whole team of people, and they rely on you, their livelihoods rely on you, and then you have to remain strong for all of them. And it was amazing, and I had an amazing team. We did such a great job. We were small. There weren't more than maybe at most there were probably only 8 or 9 of us at most at one point. And then we had a store.
That's a lot of mouths to feed.
Payroll has to happen for sure. And then we were hitting
there,
all of the
man.
So you understand you understand cash flow. That I definitely didn't, I wasn't, a lot of it I wasn't prepared for, to be honest. You kind of just have to go by trial and error. And or sometimes you just have to wing it. You just have to go in there, and that's where the rock star mentality really helps,
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Welcome to the Total Wireless Store, where total confidence awaits.
I need to keep up with my teens this summer without sweating high cell phone bills.
Don't worry. You got this with Total Wireless. We have plans to fit all your family's needs starting at just $25 on the nation's best 4G LTE network.
I won't miss a thing.
Now you can focus on the important stuff, like arguing about curfew.
Discover the Total Wireless Stores and get total confidence. The latest phones, the best network, all at great prices. Now open in Miami. Refer to the latest terms and conditions of service at totalwireless.com.
Metal Babe Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at mbmmusicllc.com. That's mbmmusicllc.com. You create, we promote. Plug in to the network.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget. For novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, That's ROXX for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com. Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi, folks. Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion. Fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and, of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool, and these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com, MichelleAlbion.com, MichelleAlbion.com. Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks.
There were a lot of instances where I had to just go in and kind of just wing it and just, like, you know, roll with the punches, like, without any real, like, game plan. And it's all in the attitude. And and I was really, really grateful for having, you know, part of myself, like, you know, developed to that degree that, yes, I was able to tackle things that, you know, even though I wasn't prepared for, I kind of just pretended. You know, and kind of acted through it and was convincing. So, I mean, no, it was great. Yeah, and we were global. We were in the best stores around the world and around the country. And yes, we had the most amazing celebrity clientele. Yeah, but it took a lot of work. It was 6 years of basically almost, you know, no sleep and, you know, lots of traveling, working hard, you know, blood, sweat, and tears. You know, it was exceedingly satisfying. You know, but it was a lot. It got to the point that it wasn't quite sustainable. So I had to make certain decisions for myself. And the biggest sacrifice that you understand. So the biggest sacrifice was the fact that I couldn't do music the whole time I was doing shoes. That's what it took to be good. And you know, in the back of my head, I was like, okay, I eventually I'll get back to music. Eventually. You know, I kept telling that to myself until one day I was just like, you know what? Holy cow, you know. What really made me
off.
Yeah, and you know, if you look at it, and, you know, and I was reflecting upon it, I was like, you know, what really made me, how I found success in footwear is really stems from my years as a musician. You know, like the perspective that I brought to footwear and fashion at that time through my brand really stemmed from, you know, being on stage, you know, basically, you know, performance and the same things that I fell in love with in music. You know, like, I try to bridge that and connect that with my design fashion DNA, you know, and so when people see the shoes, they're like, yeah, that is definitely designed by a musician, you know, and hence, you know, we got rock stars, following the brand, like, you know, our biggest client, like, you know, we're Jennifer Lopez, Beyonce, you know,
resonated with them, you know. I'm sure they picked up on that and were drawn to it. That's not a bad thing,
right?
You know, not a bad thing. Now, the interesting thing is when you shifted gears, put on a different hat, and delved back into music. Now, you were telling me earlier, you know, and I get it, you're into Tool, and, you know, when you got into music and all this and that, and you were in a metal band and all this and that, then you decided to go synthwave. And I'm curious as to why. I have an idea, but I could be wrong. I remember when the 80s electronic music, I was living in Detroit, that's where I grew up, and when that hit, a lot of my friends that got into that were in other bands, and they said, this is great, these keyboards. I don't need other musicians. I can do everything myself. I'm curious if you had a similar epiphany or if you just had a love for synthwave.
Oh my God. I mean, it's an amalgam of, you know, many different things for sure. You know, I was in a progressive metal band before, and, you know, I mean, I still love metal and I still love that sound, but, you know, it definitely, you know, was part of an era, and I wanted to do something different and fresh and also a little bit more pop. But I couldn't
right.
bring myself to just do pop music, you know, and and I was just like, you know, it has to be, you know, it just can't be like commercial pop or like electronic dance music or anything. I just couldn't bring myself to do that. And I wanted something that...
See, that metal girl still lives inside and she's like,
Yes, for sure.
That ain't gonna happen.
There's definitely, you know, that cerebral side, you know, that's to me, that's really important, you know, and to me, you know, music is definitely a very cerebral, you know, process. And, but I wanted something fresh, really, really something fresh. I wanted something, I was like, oh my God, like, you know, how do you, and also to a point, you know, gonna be honest, I was getting tired of the same guitar sounds. I was getting tired of the same
right.
bass sounds. I was like, there's only so much that you could, you know, so many pedals that you could put together to create a new sound, you know, and then, you know, and I was kind of getting bored with it. And so I discovered, when was that? Oh yeah. I was watching Blade Runner. Because the new Blade Runner was coming out, and I was like, you know, I should rewatch Blade Runner. I haven't seen it since I was like a teenager or something. And then
right.
And I was just like, and I just started listening to the soundtrack. I'm like the soundtrack was so amazing. I was just like, holy cow. Like, holy cow. Like, you know, where have I been? Like, you know, and like, how come I'm noticing this for the first time? Like, you know, and then it started like going through Vangelis' stuff. And then, you know, and then from there, I just started listening to Kavinsky and like, you know, and then it kind of just like this whole new world, like, you know, started opening up, and I was like, yes, this is it. Like this is what I was
right.
looking for. This is the answer. This is, you know, like your basic E minor chord, like, you know, arpeggiated. It sounds so cool. You know, it just really opened a whole new world where I was like, wow, the possibilities, so endless. So endless, and
absolutely.
It sounds so fresh, and it sounds like, yeah, the future's now, you know, the future's now, we're in the future, right?
Right?
And so it's like, this is it, like, this is what I've been looking for, and I kind of just dove in, and I was like, okay, I kind of know what I'm gonna do, and I kind of have, like, this image of like, you know, what I want my new artist persona is gonna be, so yeah, it was just, like, this huge epiphany.
Well, it's a brilliant one that I share. I am in love with your everything you're saying right now. It's one
no,
of my
you.
favorite, you know, and it's weird the times we find ourselves in. I have a good friend of mine that called me a couple weeks after the election. And he said, hey, I remember you used to love all those, like, Negative Utopian books. You know, how are you digging that now? And I'm like, no, I want it to be fiction. I want Blade Runner to be. I want Blimp. Not a Blimp. Come on. I'm kidding. Don't send me emails, people. Oh, please. Yeah, but I get what you're saying. I love it. And some people, you know, it's interesting because your video captures that. Now, did you oversee that a lot, or did you bring somebody in to do that? Because I'm just curious. It fits the music so well, and it fits what you're saying so well. If you did bring somebody,
well, that's
in,
definitely right. Yeah, it was a huge collaboration. You know, for sure. Like, you know, I started the treatment. Like, you know, I had a very clear idea or clear vision of what I want to capture. Basically, I wanted something eclectic that really, you know, had, it was very 80s. Yeah, it has this dystopian vibe to it. You know, at the same time, I wanted something futuristic, but still had like some old world elements. You know, but my director of choice is this amazing photographer, Jennifer Zarr, who's a really, really, really good friend of mine. And, I approached her with the project, and then, you know, she kind of, you know, came back to the scene, you know, to start shooting again. I think she took a short break or something, but, I approach her, like, I've always loved her work and aesthetic, and then started working on the storyline and treatment and basically the grand vision. And she helped pull everything together. And then she was there totally mentoring me throughout, she brought some members of her old crew into the project, which they were so phenomenal. I felt like I got really lucky, you know, that I had her act as a creative consultant. I wanted her to direct it. I wanted her to really put it together, but the vision kind of had to really serve the purpose that I've kind of set it out to be, you know. And that's where she was like, you know, you need to take over this project. You need to be the one doing this, because, you know, as an artist and as a creative, it has to be true to what you're doing. And then, that was quite an amazing experience. I don't think I was the same after shooting, after that whole entire production process. There's something for sure got mixed in psychologically, emotionally, you know. And it's my first music video, and
it's great.
But I'm very proud to say that the vision really came alive, you know. And for sure, I had an amazing team behind it. You know, Stefan Schaffer, who's the director of photography. I mean, he's just so sublime to work with. He just knew what needed to happen. And then and my co-star is Jeremy O'Shea, who's one of my best friends ever. Such an amazing actor. Like, you know, he's like, he just plays villains really, really well. And then that was important, you know. That's really important to me, like, you know, to kind of just capture, like, you know, all the emotions. And the training that I had to undergo just to get into that shape was kind of crazy. It wasn't bad to start with, but I felt like, okay, you know what, I really want to push and challenge myself physically. Because I was playing opposite Alex Mihalescu, who's a Romanian Olympian, and Jeremy O'Shea, who's like, you know, like super good looking. And I was just like I don't want to be the, you know, I don't want to be the flabby one.
Gotcha.
I was like, I have to give this justice. I have to undergo the conditioning.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beattie, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are two separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another. A friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please, visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com, to learn how you can help raise awareness and form smiles.
Ruxgear, the online web shop of high-end luxury merchandise and products. All featuring original pop art paintings From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierocks.us.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Hey folks, located in the hills of Tennessee, L'Apothecary Unique offers all natural, organic, gluten-free skincare, hair care products, perfumed oils, medicinal salves, makeup, incense, and aromatherapy items, bath salts, and even much more, including something special for the fellows, like beard and mustache balm, astringent, and aftershave. Each item is made to order just for you. So check out LapothecaryUnique.com, spelled L'ApothecaryUnique. L'ApothecaryUnique.com.
Well, I have to tell you, in my younger, thinner days, I was quite the club rat. I used to go to nightclubs. I tell people, you know, I went to a club on a Friday and then came home 2 decades later. And that's kind of true. I used to go out a lot. And one of the things that we used to always laugh about, because once you've been to clubs that long, you've kind of seen it all in the nightclub world. And people invariably will have what we would call props, club props. And that's, you know, they'll bring something cool. If you're at a new wave bar, you know, there's the guy with the copy of Catcher in the Rye in his pocket. And, you know, it's just lame. You have the ultimate club prop, though. I don't think I've ever seen anyone arrive cooler to a nightclub than in a rickshaw, you know, pulled by a really hot guy. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, expect nothing less for sure. I got really spoiled by that one. I was like, traveling would never be the same ever again after that experience. But that was really fun. Yeah, that was fun. When Jennifer Zahr and I were talking about the arrival, which is, you know, basically I was arriving to my own funeral, right? Like, you know, that was like the whole concept,
right?
You know, we wanted something dramatic, you know. At first, we were thinking, like, you know, really badass futuristic scooter. And I was just like, you know, the problem is, you know, being a native New Yorker, I cannot drive. I don't have a driver's license. Right. I don't know how to get around that, you know.
She's a city girl, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
She's a city girl.
I've always taken the subway, you know, and the train, or nowadays we just Uber everywhere. So it's like, there's no way I was going to get my driver's license, like, you know, basically 10 days before the shoot. So, and then somebody came up with the idea of, oh, what if it's just like, you know, something manual and old world, like a rickshaw, you know? And then we got one built, customized.
Really?
With, like, you know, all the neon lights. Yeah, that was built from scratch. To get that look in. Yeah, and it's for sure it wasn't the safest thing to ride on. it wasn't secure at all. I was kind of holding on to my dear life when Alex was pulling me in that picture. it was kind of scary, to be honest, but, you know, it's all right, you know, it worked out. We got the shot. Yeah, we got the shot that we needed, so I was happy.
The art was done, was created. That's good. Sometimes you got to do it. It's like those high heels you used to design, you know.
sometimes you just have to do it
for
fashion and for art. It just has to happen.
Right. We were going to shoot until we got arrested or something.
Oh, man. That's awesome. So it was a 10-day shoot. That's a long time for a video.
I don't know. It wasn't 10 days. It was I was preparing everything 10 days prior to the shoot.
I see. I was going to say.
It was only a one day. No, we shot everything actually just in one day. I think it was almost 20 hours. I mean, it was a long day. It was a very long day and night of shooting. We were at the end of it, we were at our wits' end. we had to get through it, and we did.
I was picturing the arena going, making everybody, pulling a Stanley Kubrick and making everyone, no, the shot isn't right. Run the rickshaw down the street once again. Zarina, we've done it 27 times. I don't care.
Stefan Chakra was the one who was basically behind the camera the entire time. And he was entrusted with that scene for sure. And we had to, I want to say we had 20 takes of the rickshaw or something just to get it right.
Wow.
I mean, that part.
She did
was,
do
yeah.
it.
Yes, it was, I remember Alex Mihalovsky was getting quite a workout, and he was loving it, and he was just like, I didn't go to the gym today, so, this is my workout for tonight.
Well, that's
it was a great thing, yeah, and he didn't mind, and, I was just there, sitting, holding onto my dear life, as he pulled, but... But that was fun because we shot that on a
around in the rickshaw.
Was it Myrtle Avenue? I think we were on Myrtle Avenue in Brooklyn, which is a busy street, and everyone was just cheering us on when we were on.
Oh, that's awesome!
Yeah, but it was funny because it was quite a spectacle.
Yeah, excitement, man. That's pretty cool. Now, they were probably thinking at first, oh, great, it's going to be a cop show or something. We see that every day. No, this is the future of tomorrow today. That's cool. I'd be excited about that. I would be down there. They'd be like, oh, God, that guy's in the shot again. Somebody, go buy him a hot dog or something. Get him out of here. Well, that's awesome. That's cool. And the video is out now. I've been playing it. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking about this, but, the cool thing is you can see the video on YouTube, or you go to my website. It's on there. It's on all my social media, and it's everywhere. And it's called Silent Surrender. That's the single. Now, this is your first single as with this project, right? The Zarina project.
That's my first single. I'm releasing another one, actually, in a couple of weeks called Blaze.
Awesome.
On August 31st. And that one definitely has a different tone. It's a lot more, it's not as dark, let's just say. It's a little bit more anthemic.
Gotcha.
And more epic than Silence of Surrender. And then, but they're all part of an LP that I'm releasing in November. November 11th, 11/11, the angel numbers. I was, my publisher was like, really? You're going to release on a Sunday? I was like, I don't care. Angel numbers.
She's
like, are you sure? Yeah, she's really cool.
Very surprised. Old Jamie Rocks here is going to be shooting an email over as soon as we're done with the show saying, I got to have her back in November. I got to have her back.
Oh, cool. Thanks.
We'll do a special. No, you're probably having a party, I imagine. You having a release party?
I'm definitely going to have one. And I think, a performance actually with the Zarina band. I actually have my band put together already, and we're charting our regional shows at the moment, but we're definitely planning on a big show and release party in November.
Nice.
And in the meantime, we're actually I'm working on the next music video for the second single that I'm about to release.
Oh, fantastic.
Gonna be super badass and super epic.
I expect nothing less.
I really enjoy making music videos. It's just, and I want to make sure they always have an interesting storyline and, you know, interesting characters in it. And so the next one involves ninjas and samurais.
Nice. Happy.
Yeah, with a hair metal band in the background. So I mean,
nice.
I'm not going to say a lot, but it's going to be so gratuitous and so
fantastic.
Yeah, over the top. Yeah, we're gonna pull all the stoppers, and we're just gonna go all out.
Awesome. Well, let's play so people know what we're talking about here. Let's play your single. Silent Surrender.
Cool.
Silence Surrender, not Silent Surrender. Silence. I can't even.
Silence
speak
and
I'm
Surrender.
So excited. That's right. Silence and Surrender. Somebody took the "and" out of my MP3. Anyway, Silence and Surrender, ladies and gentlemen. Here it is. We'll play it and then we'll tell you how you can get it. Check this out, Zarina.
Feel me break right.
And there it was, folks, Silence and Surrender by Zarina. And Zarina and I were talking off the air just now when the track was playing. Man, Zarina, that's, before we get even go there, what a great track. I love this track so much. I'm not exaggerating. It's one of my favorite tracks of the year. This is a great track.
That's a huge compliment. Thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, you were saying when people are searching for this, because this is everywhere, they can get the single, they can pick it up where they buy digital music. But there's kind of a neat trick to it to find it easily, ladies and gentlemen. And go ahead and explain what that is, Zarina.
So my name is spelled C-Z-A-R-I-N-A, but it has spaces in between each letter.
Right. I loved how you said mind the gap.
Mind, oh yeah, please mind the gap. Yeah, there are gaps between each letter. That's the official, that is the official spelling and typography of Zarina.
Nice. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime, and treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit MakingCancerHistory.com.
Hey guys, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, last year I was on holiday with my girlfriend Danny. We were at Disney World and having a great time. It's the happiest place on earth. And I dropped my vape, just like a Butterfingers, and it was a pain in the neck. They just don't have anything there to replace it and whatnot. So we had to drive 45 minutes each way to get a new one. And, you know, that's an hour and a half out of our day, man. But anyway, that wouldn't have happened because if I would have had this fantastic new product, the C-Ring. It's very, very cool. What it is it attaches to your vape, designed to protect your investment with comfort, flexibility while doing your day-to-day activity. What it does is it goes in there, you put your finger in there, and you hold it, and you're not dropping your vape, breaking it and whatnot. It's very, very cool, and if you need both hands, they have a lanyard you can hook to, and it's awesome. It's awesome. The C-Ring, you can find out more about it and pick one up at their website, www.thecring.com. Again, that's www.thecring.com. Be smart, be like me, get a C-Ring if you're a vapor. Very, very good. Oh, and hey, holidays are coming up, man. This is a very cool gift for somebody. If you have somebody on your shopping list that vapes like I do, get them a C-Ring. Thecring.com.
That's fantastic. Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, remember that when you're pushing in, typing in for Spotify and iTunes and the like, and so you can find it quickly and easily. And there you go. Also, I want to mention we have a link to Zarina's official webpage. It's zarinaofficial.com. Very easy to find, and it has links to all of her social media. So I suggest, as always, when you dig an artist, like their social media page. Not only like it, share it with your friends, because chances are they're going to dig it too because they're your friends. Very, very important. What do you think about? So, no, you grew up with social media and all that. You know, you're a youngster. You know, were you around when MySpace was happening, or are you?
Oh yeah, for sure. I was even around when Friendster was happening.
Oh man, okay.
Yeah, goes
she
way
was
back,
six
yeah.
years old. Oh my gosh. yeah. Oh my gosh. I was
yeah,
MySpace.
MySpace yeah.
It's so true. I was living in California at the time, and I thought I was just so cool because I had all these
MySpace
people on
snob. MySpace. What's a MySpace snob?
It's so embarrassing. They used to have MySpace parties, believe it or not. And,
oh really? Wow.
Yes, we would go. We would all show up at like the W or something, and you know, with our noses in the air, thinking how cool we were. And then I remember us all scoffing at the concept of Facebook. We're like, oh, pshaw, Facebook. Bunch of college nerds. That's all that is.
Yeah. Right.
All right. 6 months later, they kicked our ass. There were no more parties at the W for the MySpace crowd.
I like MySpace in many ways much more than Facebook, because I think it was a better platform for you had more control over it, and it was a better platform for musicians and for artists. I think they really, that was the great thing about it, that you could really it was more of an artist page,
absolutely,
For,
and it taught us all
for most of
HTML,
us.
Yes, that was
that was important.
It was. I want that glittering panda on my page. Gosh darn it. Important.
For sure. That is really important. Yeah, those are important skills to develop.
That's right. How can I put that on my Facebook? The GIF doesn't even animate. Come on.
Exactly. Yeah. We're stuck with the GIFs. That was it. This is far as our creativity could take us on Facebook.
That's right. We're stifled. I know. Everybody, my girlfriend, everybody's on Instagram now. Everybody's like, oh, Instagram happy. Instagram's pretty good. I don't mind it. There's a lot less, at least on – but I think this is how your feed is, whoever you're friends with or whatever. There's a lot less nonsense on my Instagram than there is on my Facebook. But I don't, I probably shouldn't mention this. I don't look at my Facebook feed that much. I mean, maybe once in the morning or something, but
I don't
know. I'm too busy.
Right. Yeah. I'm hardly on Facebook. I mean, the only time I'm on Facebook is, from managing my Zarina page. I do try my best to interact with, the people who actually, the audience who'd been reaching out and, trying to connect, and
that's cool.
I try to get to all of their questions and answers and comments, and I try to comment back, and a lot of them are really, really cool. So
that's fantastic. Well, I really loved the flyer you made for tonight's show, the web flyer that really made mine look terrible, but it was awesome, Serena. It was awesome.
Thank you. I made it because I didn't know if there was a flyer, so I kind of just made one. I had
printing that in Vogue magazine soon. fantastic. I'm telling you, I love it. I've got more work coming your way. She's like, hey, man, cool. Got that degree in art. I'm, in design, I'm knocking it out. No, that's good. That saves so much time. Now, let me ask you, as a musician, you mentioned something earlier, and I think this is so important. No matter what you're doing, and this is, I bring this up because I know there's a lot of people that are listening to the show or the podcast in the future, and they're, they want to be doing what you're doing, and they're behind you on the road to that. What would be, you've got a tremendous work ethic. The reason I say that and know that just from what you've told me, you don't accomplish what you accomplished or do what you're doing without having that. That just doesn't happen. There's a lot of work. And what would be your advice to, youngsters that want to pursue their creative dreams and get to a position like yourself?
Never, ever be afraid to start anywhere and somewhere. Everyone starts somewhere. Nobody, a young designer, doesn't wake up and she's suddenly Coco Chanel, pay your dues. Pay your dues,
absolutely.
It took me a long, long, long time, and it was, you have to go through the trenches. You have to go through the trenches. No matter how talented you are, and or you think you are, you still have to go through the trenches. You still have to, when when I was a young design assistant, I was picking up eraser shavings, like, you know, after my design director, you know, because it's something that I had to do, and I had no problems doing it. You know, no small task is ever too small, you know, or, you know, nothing is ever beneath you. I think it's all in the attitude. Like, you know, you have to have the willingness, you know, to do what it takes, you know, and if you can't do the small tasks, like, how can I do the bigger tasks, you know? So that's like, that's always been ingrained in me, and always pay attention to the small things in order to get to the bigger things. And that is probably my biggest advice, you know, put your egos aside and, you know, just, and learn from someone who's been doing it. You know, there's the best years I've ever had is when during my formative years, you know, as a young designer and even as a young musician, you know, mom, I was very lucky that when I was in my old band called IcoStar, I had amazing musicians playing with me who were my bandmates, and, you know, they were seasoned musicians, and Kevin Garcia, who's always been my most favorite drummer in the entire universe, and Clifton Hyde, who's, you know, most amazing guitar player and, you know, multi-instrumentalist, really. He's kind of like the oh my god, I forgot who that guy was. Who's that guy from radio? Johnny Greenwood? Is it Johnny Greenwood? No. Yeah, he's kind of like that. I just blanked out. Yeah, I forgot his name. But anyway, you know, I was so young when I formed my first band, and, you know, and I was so lucky to have those two guys really just they were really beating me up in terms of, like, you know, making sure that I'm on time and that, like, I really get all those downbeats right. You know, they were rough, and we were rehearsing nonstop, you know, that was important. That was so important, you know. And I've always been so grateful for that moment. And even when I was starting as a shoe designer, I had really amazing mentors who, you know, they brought me to all these factories. You know, they're not the most glamorous, you know, places, but, you know, they told me, like, you know, you need to get in there, you need to be able to sit down and just bare yourself, you know, in this environment. You know, I know it's hard, it's not glamorous, you know, you get mosquito bites left and right. But this is what it takes, you know, and you gotta get your job done. You know, you're not done until we say it's done, you know. And that was the training. So you know, that's what it took.
That's fantastic. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen, there you go. That's the secret. You know, that's
just
absolutely
bust your butt.
That's right.
Yeah.
Work harder.
No excuses. Yeah.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
It's that famous famous saying that, you know, with photographers, they're saying that, you know, you're not really considered a photographer until you've shot your, like, 1,000th, like, you know, photograph or something like that. Yeah. You're not really good until you've shot your 1,000th photograph.
Absolutely. I had a kid, I was at a get together, I don't know, this is probably a couple months ago, and maybe it doesn't matter. Anyways, it was a bit back, and he's young, and he's like, oh, yeah, I want to be a painter, too, an artist, too. I hate the term artist, but, you know, because I'm a painter. That's what I do. I paint. And he goes, yeah, I would love to be, you know, I draw. I'm really good at drawing, and I would love to sit around and just paint all day. And I'm like, yeah, me too. You know, I would love that as well.
All of us, yes.
You know, but there's a lot more to it, man. You got to, you know, still have to. You know, yeah, you can't just got to work that phone, work that email. Oh my gosh,
right.
You know, do radio shows. You got to do stuff, man. Got to work.
Right. You got to work.
You got to work. So that's cool. Well, I can't wait. I can't wait for 2 weeks to hear the new single, and then, well, we got to wait a couple months to see the new video. you know, because Zarina's being lazy. No, I'm kidding. I'm joking. no, I just want to see it. You know, I want to see it. But I will.
Me too. I want to see it already. I wish it was done. It all lives in my head right now. And I'm like, I know exactly how it's going to go. And I wish it's done already. Which is out. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
But I think
but you know, as soon as it is, you'll be planning the next one. You know?
I'm sorry. Come again?
I said as soon as that's finished, you'll be planning the next one. Probably before it's finished.
Yeah, before it's finished. Yeah, I'm already moving on to the next one for sure. Yeah.
Nice. Well, I'm looking at the time, and it's about that time. Zarina, it's been such a pleasure to have you on. I've really enjoyed myself tonight, and I can't wait to hear more. You already know this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Keep doing what you're doing, man, because you're real, real good at it.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you. This is very encouraging.
Absolutely. Well, folks, that's going to it's going to wrap it up for us tonight. We will be back tomorrow night or tomorrow afternoon. I don't know. It's on the website. I can't remember. I'm drawing a blank like Zarina did earlier. I'm just so excited about all this other stuff. But, yeah, we'll be back tomorrow. Tonight's episode, of course, will be converted to a podcast and pushed out on all the various social media platforms, including up on Apple Podcasts. So if you are listening to the podcast in the future, hello from the past. Do me a quick favor, hit that ratings and review. Doesn't cost you anything, and it keeps us up at the top of the page. And, man, I love throwing that fact around when I'm talking to our advertisers. So it helps me out. I appreciate that. Very, very good. Zarina, it's a Monday night in New York City. Are you going out tonight? Are you working tonight? What are you doing tonight?
I'm actually wrapping up a cover song. It's a surprise. Yeah. Although people who know me could probably guess what it is and who it's by. But yeah, I'm working on that's the last song that I'm including in my LP. So yeah, it's getting wrapped up tonight.
So we gotta wait till November before we get to find out what it is. Great. Just great.
Yeah.
You're mean to me, Zarina. You're mean to me. That's okay. I love it. Very, very cool. Well, oh, and I forgot to mention the people that made tonight happen and possible, who introduced us, the fine folks over at La Famas Marketing. If you are doing a creative project or, you know, in a band or got an indie film or something out and you need some help on the PR side, I don't know how that business works, but I do know, get in touch with them. They're good people to have in your corner. Best in the business, man. make friends with them. Go pick up Angelica's dry cleaning, wash her dogs, whatever you got to do, man. Get them on your side. That's all I'm saying. You will thank me. Very cool. Well, Zarina, thank you so much for being on the show. Man, it's been so much fun.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And folks, we'll see you tomorrow. Have a great night, everybody.
Good night.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.